Lindsay Dentling, your eyes are red and crossed, Lindsay. I wonder why that would be, because you are making your way through the how many page report, Treasury report, into Eskom and Transnet?
Well, they come in three parts, John, and two of them are just shy of 300 pages each, and the other about 250 odd pages.
So it's 750, 800 pages. Okay, that's going to take you a while. You're not going to enjoy your weekend, not one little bit. But in terms of what you have read so far, I mean, obviously, there's some big names that are in there, Brian Molefe, Matsele Koku, Malusi Gigaba. But what are the key elements that you've picked up?
Well, John, certainly that the same characters, if you will, are playing out at both institutions. You know, we always connect Brian Molefe and Anuj Singh to the Eskom matters and the Eskom inquiry. Certainly that was before Parliament, and those names really get linked to Eskom. But we forget, before the life of Eskom, they had a life at Transnet. And that's where Anuj Singh and Brian Molefe are also implicated in all these locomotives, at least three locomotive deals with China South Rail and other rail agencies, where they were just behaving as they shouldn't have in the tender processes, in favoring certain rail companies, in sharing confidential information. More importantly, even Suzanne Daniels from Eskom, they are all implicated in sharing information that they shouldn't have. So Anuj Singh and Brian Molefe, really, their story starts in the Transnet report and carries on into the Eskom report. The Eskom report, a lot of it is stuff that we have seen come out already in the public domain. One of the three reports is about the consultancy firms, Trillion, McKinsey, Regiments, Capital, and stuff that we've seen come out already. Certainly that 1.5 billion rand in payments that Eskom really didn't get value for money. Some of that money we now know has been paid back. So really a trail of characters that have been followed along. As we know, the Eskom individuals who the reports suggest should be criminally investigated have now left. But there are still, certainly at Transnet, two individuals who are on suspension who are also implicated in those reports.
Yeah, I mean, as you say, it is the same names and it is the same accusations largely, but this is an official report, and it just adds, I don't know, it adds evidentiary weight. When Amabungani comes up with something, we kind of believe it, because they do the work thoroughly and they're working off documents which have been leaked to them. But when it's put in this form, when it's tabled in Parliament, when the announcement is made that it's being handed over to the Hawks, it's more formal, it's more serious.
It certainly is. I mean, just earlier I had a debate with somebody on the news desk whether we still say allegedly the things that are being said about these people in the reports. But they have, I should point out, some parts of these reports was leaked a few weeks back. They have now, some of them have responded to the allegations. So two sides of the story is put there. For example, Malusi Gigaba, just last month, he was still questioning what was coming out in these reports against him, and he's responded. So the report does attempt to balance both versions and makes a finding as to whose version appears to be more credible.
Surely Malusi Gigaba's version is not deemed to be more credible than the Treasury report's version.
In one instance in particular, the report actually goes as far as to say that, and that is with regard to something certainly I didn't know about, is that Transnet paid for two security guards for Malusi Gigaba over and above. He's
at a cost of nearly three quarters of a million rand.
If you calculate how long these two guys were in employ, by the Department of Public Enterprises said, it's a former official. He said he knows that Malusi Gigaba, who was the minister at the time, said there were threats against his life. They went to the police station here in Cape Town to discuss. An assessment was supposed to be carried out. But he says the minister went to Transnet to ask for additional protection. Transnet, on the other hand, says they appointed these two officials under the guise of protecting Transnet officials, executives. But it appears that these two guys were actually appointed solely to protect Malusi Gigaba, and they were seconded to the Public Enterprises Department before they'd even served their probation period.
The man Masango, Abram Masango, who he's resigned after he was put on precautionary suspension by Eskom. Is he one of those names that is mentioned in the report? And so what's happened with his suspension and then his resignation directly retired to this report?
I have not come across his name, John, but we do remember I think today he said the reason he's resigning is because he feels vilified. And that was certainly the story he came to tell at the Eskom inquiry in Parliament. So he was on suspension at the time. And shortly after he testified at the Eskom inquiry in Parliament, he was reinstated. And that was pretty much, but I have not seen his name, as much as I've read so far, have not seen his name come up in the report as far as Eskom is concerned.
A personal question. What's it like as you go through this? And I had a brief look at the report, and yes, there's a fair amount of legalese in there, but it's just so damning and so depressing that this was going on, and many of us in the media were reporting that it was going on, and Zuma's government was refusing to acknowledge that it was going on, and there were denials and claims of innocence left, right, and center. And as you just go through that, and as a citizen, do you kind of go, really?
I don't know if I'm as depressed as I'm constantly surprised. As you said, we know these things are going on, but now when you see, for example, I was just reading before coming in here, this trail of emails between Molefe and Singh, the amounts of money, staggering amount of money that Molefe is alleged to have asked Singh to move around, presumably to their offshore personal accounts, $250,000 at a time. And you just wonder, where did this money come from? How it's like,
well,
they're living
in a... Well, we know it came from. It came from your and my tax.
But it's like, for me, it's more mind-blowing that they're living in this, for me, in a parallel universe, that they're just operating on just just another level. Yes, the money that Singh was transferring, he didn't cash in on his personal salary from Eskom for 3 years. He didn't touch his salary because he had other bank accounts with other money from goodness knows where.
Well, we know exactly where from.
That he was able to buy a 5.5 million rand house in Umhlanga Rocks. So these days, for me, before I get depressed, maybe you get depressed listening to me, but I'm just bewildered and surprised all the time.
That is the first time. Anoj Singh did not touch his Eskom salary.
For 3 years.
So he's probably going to say he's a very, very good day trader. He's a very keen stock market investor. He's made a lot of money out of Bitcoin. Who knows what he's
doing? They've traced about 16 million rand that he had flying into other accounts during that time that just made that he didn't have to touch his Eskom salary. And you remember, he was asked before the Eskom inquiry in Parliament how much he earned, and he was quite upset that they would ask him how much he earned. Now we know why he wasn't touching that salary for 3 years.
Lindsay Dentlinger, thank you. Happy reading.